countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Have you cattle to sell? Find out what they're worth with our March price calculator on farmersjournal.ie.
Now, as you know, there's a big push towards organic farming right across the EU with this Farm to Fork strategy, which has been launched by the EU, hoping that around 25% of farms will be organic by 2030. And this month, the Minister for State, Pippa Hackett, opened the organic farming scheme, which supports farmers through the transition to organic farming and for some years afterwards. Now, the closing date for applications for this is the end of April. Now, we're going to chat to Grace Maher of the Irish Organic Farmers and Growers Association and Dara McCullough presently. But you may remember before Christmas, Dara met some organic farmers for Countrywide. And here's a little reprise, beginning with Tom Phelan in County Laois, who along with his son Alan moved from dry stock to organic dairying.
The type of cow that you went for, the type of genetics you went for, any different from the type that you would have in a conventional herd?
Well, in organics, you don't have the option of having a very high-yielding cow because you're only allowed to use 40% concentrates at any one time.
So there's no point in going with a Holstein cow?
No, not a pure Holstein cow by any means. You don't have that option.
Yeah, so what I'm looking at here, I'm looking at browns and brownie blacks and whitey blacks and there's a mixed bag.
There is, yeah, but they are a high EBI herd. Yeah. They came in conventional. These cows, while their milk is accepted as organic milk, they themselves would never be deemed organic. I did get a text lately saying that there was an outlet opening up for organic cow meat.
Yeah.
But these cows themselves will never be organic from a meat point of view because they weren't born organic.
Yeah.
But the calves that have been born on this farm this year, they are organic and will always be organic.
If one of your cows gets sick now, what can you do for
her? Some people may have the impression that if a cow gets sick, you have to stand looking at her as she pines away and dies.
Yeah.
But nothing could be further from the truth. Of course, what the vets say is final. If the vet deems she needs an antibiotic for her welfare, she has to get an antibiotic. You have to abide by longer withdrawals, but you can still use an antibiotic if it's necessary.
In County Kildare, Graham Harris converted to organic tillage farming along with running some organic sheep. His brother Trevor had been organic for some time, and Graham told Dara that he may have been right all along.
I suppose I'm leaving my hedgerows grow bigger. They used to be cut back. Now I'm going to leave them go.
You had your lovely tight.
Tidy.
Short
tidy,
back and sides.
Clean. Yeah, yeah. Those words I often use in farming, tidy and clean. I remember turning around to my brother Trevor. I just had all the hedges scalped. And I said to him, what do you think? Looks great, doesn't it? And he goes, he was trying to be diplomatic. He says, I wouldn't like it. He just said very carefully to me. Yeah. And I was looking over his hedges. And I was thinking, I wonder why he doesn't like the hedges like this.
Yeah.
Whereas now, that was only probably about 4 years ago. Whereas now I'd look at it totally different. I'd prefer to have the hedges full of life.
But there's a reason for having your hedge cut tight, right? I mean, you want to get in and plant as much of the field as possible because every acre counts, right?
Mm. Yeah, I'd see that as part of the problem, though. Like, the problem is we need more and more every year. Like, I was looking at, you'd look at farmers and they'd be cutting decent crops, but they'd still be below the line. Maybe they'd be cutting a 3.5 tonne of winter barley. It's not enough anymore because of the way things have gone. So farming's in trouble that way, that we need to take more and more. So we're now looking at pushing the hedges back, taking that bit for ourselves. Whereas when we take that, we do harm. I feel that the farm will work better as an entity if it's left with the bigger hedges. I shouldn't need to go after them. They're going to lock up carbon as well. So if I have big hedges, I'm locking up carbon. So it's definitely performing something good for the environment. It's good for the wildlife.
In North County Dublin, Pat and Jenny McNally moved into organic horticulture more than 20 years ago. And this, along with an on-farm market and cafe, provides employment for them and 5 of their children.
They just, like, you can see for yourself. So we have, like, padron peppers, shishito peppers, bell peppers, your normal, like, long peppers. Poblano peppers was a new one for us this year. And then our chilies.
Steve, how's it going?
Hi, Dara. Good, good. At the moment, we're just a takeaway cafe, but it's our other sister, Sarah, now, who is also, she's been half and half, so she's also returning. She had a catering company before this. She ran with her business partner.
Sarah, good morning.
Morning. How are you?
So this is your little independent republic in here now.
I had my own kind of catering thing the last few years, and then we actually decided to take a break from it this year, but then the pandemic hit, and yeah, it just kind of became permanent, me being here. This area, like, I love it. I grew up here, but there isn't a massive community feeling, but it's kind of nice. I mean, like, getting to know, like, neighbours who I've lived beside all my life and never knew before, so they're kind of coming down and getting coffee and, like, picking up a treat or a sandwich or something.
Well, joining me now is the man himself, Dara McCullough, and Grace Maher, Development Officer with the Irish Organic Farmers and Growers Association. Dara, to you first, as a conventional farmer yourself, what struck you about the visits and chats you had with these people recently converted to organics?
Morning, Damien. Yeah, I really enjoyed the visits to the three farms. They were all great characters. Tom and Alan Phelan there in Leash, who had converted to dairying. What really struck me was how Tom really dispelled all those myths that I suppose exist in conventional farmers still, you know, that their stock, they're going to have to watch their stock piling away if they get sick. And also how smart they were in terms of the conversion. You know, they didn't take on any major borrowings that are usually associated with transition over to dairy. They used the proceeds from the suckers to build a parlour. They bought the herd as calves, so there wasn't a big outlay there. They used that the payments from the organic scheme then to keep the cash flow going. And that was all smart. And, you know, they weren't zealots about organic farming because they kind of felt that the way they were farming conventionally wasn't that far from how they have to farm organically. But the reason that they went to organic was because it allowed them on maybe a grazing area of 100 acres to make a living out of maybe 65 cows, which is considered maybe a little bit on the smaller side of dairy now. And they reckon that you can make the same income out of 65 cows organically as you can out of 100 cows conventionally. So maybe having to run less hard to produce the same amount of money. Graham Harris, what struck me was he'd been looking over the ditch, so to speak, at his brother, who Trevor, who had been farming organically for the past 20 years. And I suppose it took him all that time to convince himself that organic was the way to go. And now that he has made the leap, he feels it's a complete no-brainer. I mean, he is totally committed to it and very content in what he does. Yeah. And then the McNallys, I mean, if you want to picture a family of honest-to-goodness, hard-working people who eat, sleep and drink farming and everything that you can do with farm produce, then you've got the McNally family in North County Dublin. And again, they're making, you know, 7 full-time incomes out of maybe less than 100 acres of land. And Damien, the thing that I came away with from there is the world of possibilities that opens up in terms of what you can grow in Ireland when you put up polytunnels. Yeah. They really just, you know, open a whole world of different produce. I mean, they were producing all kinds of exotic tomatoes and chili peppers and all kinds of wonderful things.
Yeah,
is possible.
As we heard in that report, and they all sound happy and content and that they should have done it years ago. And Grace, are we noticing an increase in the number of farmers that are interested in switching to organic? Because it's still only 2% of total farming in Ireland is done organically.
Good morning, Damien and Dara. Yes, we are actually seeing an increase in farmers who are inquiring about coming into organics. And in practice, it isn't something that farmers decide to do overnight. You know, they put in time and effort and research. They go visit other farms when it's permitted, obviously. And they look at the options for their individual farms. And obviously now, because the organic farming scheme is open and has a target, you know, to increase by about 30%, so bringing in another 400 to 500 farmers in Ireland to certified organic production. That's obviously spiked an interest of late, but certainly more farmers are looking at it as a viable option for their farm. And in terms of sectoral like balance, we do see, I mean, this week alone, the main processors in the dairy, tillage and beef sector in organics were asking for more farmers to come in because, I mean, we're looking at unprecedented, really, and accelerated growth in terms of market value and market sales. If you look at the European market over the last decade, the market value has more than doubled. And so this is what we need to actually wake up and kind of be aware of. Sales in Europe in 2019 were 45 billion, and that's predicted to double in the next few years. So I think Irish farmers, you know, yes, we're at 2%. And you mentioned at the outset of this piece, Damien, about the European target to reach 25% of organic land by 2030. And we certainly need, you know, in an Irish context, we need political support at all levels to deliver concrete action to support conversion to organic farming, and market development is crucial.
As Dara said there, there seems to be a lot of misconceptions out there among farmers who believe that it's more difficult to transition, that they're not allowed to use, not allowed to treat sick animals and so on. And so there are a few myths there. But compared to other countries, due to the grass-based system and relatively smaller herds, as Dara said, are some farmers well on their way to being organic on many Irish conventional farms as we speak?
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, more extensive farming system is what's favoured in organics, and that's what we do have in Ireland. So absolutely, farmers have to do very little in some instances to convert to organic. But obviously, conversion needs to happen on the farmer. And I think Graham Harris is a classic example there that Dara spoke about earlier. You know, you can be watching from over the hedge, but until you make that conscious decision yourself to convert to organic, then it's when it will really happen. And when farmers do that, they actually stick with organic farming for a long term. You know, we get farmers, you know, very few farmers leave organic production once they come into it because they really like that system of production. So certainly, you know, there are misconceptions, but we're doing our best to dispel those myths out there, you know.
Okay, Dara, just briefly, if larger numbers do go organic, like we won't hit 25% in Ireland by 2030, but we will certainly increase between now and then, and particularly if this annual scheme is continued by the department to encourage farmers to go organic. But when you have too many, does it lose its niche status then?
Yeah, I think this is a key concern because, you know, on paper, there's endless demand for organic produce. And, you know, Grace mentioned, you know, the current market is 45 billion of a spend in Europe. But there is the kind of slightly inconvenient facts out there. Like, for example, 70% of organic sheep meat produced here at the moment is being sold at conventional prices. So that's one sector where organics isn't really paying any dividends for the farmers involved. And remember what they say about commodity markets, Damien, you know, all food is a commodity at the end of the day. All it takes is a 2% shortage for price to rocket. But the flip side of that is that a 2% surplus can also make prices plummet. So, you know, if there was a pot of gold out there for the taking in organics, farmers would have taken it long before now, I think.
Okay, well, back to you finally and briefly, Grace. Any farmer listening to us now that is thinking about organics, they have a chance now to apply for the status or for this scheme. Just when is the closing date and how can they receive more help? I believe you have a couple of webinars coming up which might be useful.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, as you mentioned, the closing date is the 30th of April. So the Irish Organic Association have two webinars on March 31st and April 7th, the both Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. in the evening. And that looks at the paperwork aspect because to join this current scheme, you have to send in an application form to the Irish Organic Association. And then the second step is to register on the Ag Food Portal scheme. So we have webinars. We're very happy to help farmers talk through the paperwork side of it and talk through the process. And I'd encourage any farmer who's looking at coming into organics to just join into those webinars, and we're happy to help.
All right, and all you have to do is text organic to 51444. Text organic to 51444 for more information on that. Thank you very much indeed, Grace, and your own website will have more details on it. And Dara, thank you as well.